ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुदेवाय नमः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्।
श्री कृष्णा शरणं मम।
श्रीकृष्णशरणम् कृष्ण कन्हैया लाल की जय। ओके सो आई विल चैंट अगेन फ्रॉम बिगिनिंग, यू कैन रिपीट दीज वर्सेस। कटाक्ष किरणाचांत नमन मोहाब्धे नमः अनंतानंद कृष्णाय जगन्मंगलमूर्तये अहमस्मि सदा भामी कदाचिन्नाहमप्रियः ब्रह्मैवाहमतः सिद्धम् सच्चिदानंदलक्षणम्। कदाचित् न अहम् अप्रियः, आई नेवर हेट माई सेल्फ रियली। आई मे हेट सर्टेन आस्पेक्ट्स अबाउट माई सेल्फ विच प्रूव दैट आई लव माई सेल्फ ओनली। सर्टेन आस्पेक्ट्स, हेट द आस्पेक्ट नॉट द सेल्फ। यू सी आई ऑलवेज लव माई सेल्फ। Now, in the next verse, so this verse I told you was talking about the Sat Chit Ananda aspect of myself. One more thing before we continue, one more point in that verse. Do not think that there is Brahman, and Brahman has three qualities, Sat, Chit, not like that. Sat and Chit and Ananda, one and whatever is that existence is not an inert existence. It is a conscious existence. Consciousness itself. And by nature it is also blissful. It is not that it has three qualities. All three are one and same. This is Vedanta in its purest form. Okay. Now, in number three, the idea that all things rise in me, stay in me, this is an Upanishadic idea which is found, you will see, when you study Kaivalya Upanishad. So from the Kaivalya Upanishad, this idea is reiterated to do some reflection. Now see, this is number three. All things rise in me, stay in me, and again, dissolve in me only. मये बोधेति मये बोधेति चिद्व्योम्नि जगद्गंधर्वपत्तनम् अतोहं न कथं ब्रह्मा सर्वज्ञं सर्वकारणम्। So, mai eva, in me alone, udeti, rises. And me alone here is described as chidvyomni. In me, the space of consciousness, udeti, rises. Jagat gandharva pattanam, this whole universe. And gandharva pattanam is a very important word there. Like castles in the sky. Castles rising in the sky. Meaning to say the whole world rises in me, but not in any real form. Because when you see castles in the sky, you know, or Morgana's city, in the old days when pirates and buccaneers and all of them used to sail, sometimes when they used to become delusional after sailing for a long time and no food and water and this and that, and they used to see in the horizon there a whole city, like, and they used to sail. When they go there, then they get lost at sea and they never return. They just see on the horizon something like that. It's called Morgana City. And here, like castles in the sky. So, number of ideas are there in this verse. Huh? One is, all things arising in me. Now, you just pay attention to that a little bit, right? each person has to think like this for himself. Huh? How I am going to think now, you have to think for yourself. Now, in my mind, all of you are there's thoughts, isn't it? When my mind go to sleep, all of you dissolve. When my mind wakes, all of you return. So when I sleep, I dissolve all of you. When I wake, again all of you? Yeah. So it means, to me, my world is what? My mind only, isn't it? My, when you rise, the whole universe rises. Huh? When I awake, my whole universe comes to me. And when I sleep, my whole universe is dissolved. So some people feel, well, good idea, let me just sleep, you know, everything will just go away. But Prakriti is a wonderful thing. Your mind is governed by Prakriti. It cannot sleep indefinitely. Mind will again awaken, and when it awakens, its whole the whole world of that mind comes right back. So now, to every individual, the universe is what nothing but what is rising with mind and dissolving with mind. When mind sleeps, universe dissolves. When mind wakes, universe emerges again, coming and going. So my whole universe is rising in me, because whose mind it is? My mind. You have to think for yourself. It's my mind, and my universe is coming with my mind and dissolving with my mind. And my mind belongs to who? Me. So this whole universe is in me or not? This is a simple language, uses of language also. My whole universe is in me. Because my mind is where? Not in you. My mind is in me. So my whole universe is rising with my mind. That mind belongs to me. Oh, my universe is rising in me and dissolving in me. Mayi eva udeti chid vyomni. Now, the mind exists in the space of consciousness. So easy way to go about this is say, my whole universe is in my mind, and my mind is where? In consciousness. The space of consciousness. This is what the verse is telling only. Space of consciousness, my mind is existing. It means to say, when the mind sleeps, the consciousness doesn't sleep. In that consciousness again, the mind awakens. So the mind is being enlivened by the consciousness. The mind means, enlivened means what? Now I know my universe. That is an experience of the mind. Now I know nothing. Another experience in the mind, experience of total ignorance. And we know what is ignorance, huh? All of us know. Like right now, I know I am ignorant of Greek. You know? I mean, those who are ignorant of Greek, some people may know Greek, you know. We know. So we know knowledge and we know ignorance also. Correct or not? I know that I know, and I know that I don't know also. So I know both knowledge and ignorance. So that those are states of the mind. Knowledge and ignorance is states of the mind. But there's somebody who knows both. So when I awake, my mind is knowing this and knowing you and knowing all things. That is knowledge. When I sleep, the mind is ignorant. In waking also there's a lot of ignorance. Look, right now I don't know who is behind me. Behind there, because somebody could be there. Monster could be behind that wall, you know. But I don't know. So in waking also, I know both knowledge and I know ignorance. But in sleep, what I know? Only ignorance. That time also I know. So when this world in waking arises, I know the whole world. It is arising in me only, the space of consciousness. I am the space of consciousness. Yes? But that second pada is very important now. Jagat Gandharva Pattanam. Now, the reason why that is given is because of this. I am the space of consciousness and things are rising, dissolving. Rising, dissolving. Right? Like waves in the ocean. Rising, dissolving. This phrase is given to remind us that the rising and dissolving is not a real thing. not a real thing means what? In the sky, when you see castles, they're not real thing. Otherwise, it will be like this. If something really came, that means to say the underlying consciousness will be changing into that thing which came. That means the underlying consciousness will be subject to change. If it is subject to change, then a lot of other problems will come now. It means like how milk changes into curds. So if the underlying consciousness changed into this world, now in the world there will be good and evil. There will be old age and death and disease. That this consciousness will be subjected to death and disease and all of that. So, Gandharva Pattanam, which is usually used, is rope and snake. When a snake appears on a rope, the snake arose. Upon knowledge, the snake disappeared. But really speaking, at the end, really no snake came there, isn't it? There was only an appearance of a snake. No snake really came. In the same way, this world is appearing in that whole big space of consciousness, just like castles in the sky. What a wonderful thing. Actually, it will be good for you to think about an example which I give quite often is, let us say, you get yourself inside the ocean, right? An ocean is 200 feet deep. At some point where it is 200 feet deep, so you go down 100 feet. So you're in the middle. So there's water below you, 100 feet, and water 100 feet on the top also. Now you're there in the middle. And you, from that point now you can watch. And this water now which direction water will be? Back, front, up, down, every conceivable direction water will be there, isn't it? Watery water. Now, you know, just like water can freeze and become a cube. No? So there are cubes all around. Suddenly the water starts becoming a little cube here, a little cube there, a little cube there. Or it starts becoming a little rabbit, a man, a tree. Little things, it starts crystallizing, forming like that. Right? No, really speaking, if you take any one of those things, little objects which formed in that water around you, and you put it under a microscope, would you be able to see anything but H2O? There'll be nothing, isn't it? Under a microscope, you will see, no matter which form it is, which name it is, you will only be able to see H2O under a microscope, isn't it? Then, another experiment. You take out one of those. Cube. How many sides? 6 sides. And edges, sharp edges and everything, right? You take one of that and you remove the H2O molecules and you put them aside, one by one, from that cube. After you remove all the H2O molecules, what will be left? On this basis, we say, nama rupa are only superimposition. They're not real. If you only remove H2O molecules, nama rupa should have stayed there, isn't it? The name and form of cube, is name is cube. Form is 6 sides with sharp edges and this and that. That should have stayed. When we only remove one thing, H2O molecules. It means to say, nama rupa, actually, throughout the shastras, nama rupa is spoken about. Huh? Nama rupa prasarana. This world is just a manifestation of name and form, superimposed on an underlying reality. Just like in this whole big body of water, name and forms superimposed on H2O. And really, the appearance of a name or a form, a name and form, both, appearance of that really did nothing to the underlying water. See, if that underlying water becomes a cube, well, it changes the nature of H2O or what? The nature of H2O doesn't change. It remains same H2O property and everything remain exactly as they were. You see? So, the appearance of a name and a form on any substratum, on any material, does nothing to that material. You just remove that basic material from that name and form, and nothing will be left. In other words, it is quite possible to superimpose names and forms on material and not do anything to the material. From ordinary life, we know that. When I take a clump of clay and I spin it on that wheel and I make a pot, so I'm now superimposing on the clump two things. Shape of pot, that is called form, and name of pot, nama. So nama roop, I'm superimposing on the clay. But if it was saline clay, does name and form change it from saline? It remains same. So names and forms do nothing. Names and forms is what I call as Gandharva Pattanam. They are castles in the sky. They are not real things. They are just superimposition on some substratum. And in the case of all of us now in this world, the entire world is just a superimposition of names and forms on me, Chit Vyomni, the substratum, the space of consciousness. The consciousness now becomes the fundamental material. In the ocean, the water was the fundamental material. Or in the pot and clay, the clay is the fundamental material. Name and form are superimposed. So now, the whole universe of names and form is superimposed on what is the fundamental material? Chit. Consciousness. That is why, in this consciousness now, mind, which is the only, please pay attention to this, mind is the only instrument on which chit can reflect. Mind is the only thing on which chit can reflect. See, like for example, mirror. Only in mirror you will see your face. You can't see your face on that wall. That mirror has the quality of reflecting 100% light, isn't it? So when you look in the mirror, you can see yourself. But if you look on that wall, you cannot, because that wall cannot reflect 100% light. You see? So, in the very same way, this chit reflects perfectly in this mind only. And when it reflects in that mind, the whole world of names and form appear. Mind has a special quality to make the whole world of names and form appear. But names and forms only. Not anything real. So that phrase is given to remind a Vedantic student of the idea of the world on the reality. Please pay attention to this now. Three things I'll tell. One idea of creation is, and this is a story that we give to children, right? What is the idea of creation? Well, God was there, and we can't say exactly what came in his mind, but maybe he was a little bit bored, or maybe lonely, but he alone was there, right? And then he thought, well, let me create this world, right? Now, in that type of story, because you're telling to children, you don't have to fill in all the details. Because children will not figure it out in any case, right? You don't have to fill in the details. And if, and suppose a child, how long was he there? Oh, he was there forever. And when did he make the world? About 6,000 years ago. So all that beginningless time, he was not bored. Suddenly, 6,000 years ago, he became bored. You know, you'll have to, if children start asking questions like that, you will get into trouble. But good thing they don't ask, right? Then you will have to, they will ask, if they ask things like, why did he create people with two eyes in front only? If he had put one in the back, we would have been able to see so much more. One in front, one back. Or why not two more? We could see east, west, north, and south at the same time. All sorts of questions will come, right? Why he created like this. So that because you introduced the idea of creation. So then a million questions will come you cannot answer. You will not be able to. Or a simple thing. Oh, he 6,000 years ago he created. Ah, yes. What material did he use? Because if you're making something, you need some material. And the material must be pre-existing. They say, no. He made the material also. Oh, from what? You see, you will get into a lot of trouble. This is the first idea of creation. Lot of trouble. There's a million questions you will not be able to answer. In fact, one religious person from one of the churches, he came and he was telling me all of this, right? Then when I started asking questions, he came up with two types of answers. One answer is, well, God doesn't want you to know all that. Because he can't, there's no answer for it, right? So because there's no answer, his reply is, God doesn't want you to know. Okay. Then, when again I asked several questions and all of that and nothing could be answered logically, he said, well, that is my belief. So now when you are talking logic and a person is talking belief, then you can't have any discussion. Discussion finish. You understand that? No place for discussion there. I'm talking logic, he's talking belief. And if I believe something, well, you could believe that there's a 10-headed monster behind this wall. Now what discussion I will have with you anymore? You believe what you believe, isn't it? So, that first idea of creation is a real problem. Second idea. Okay, theek hai. He himself became this world. Like the milk became curd. It's called Parinamavada. Parinamavada. He himself became the world. Well, again, you're in trouble. Because, you know, now the curd cannot go back to milk. But let us say, let us even grant, right, that the curd can go back to milk because Bhagavan is omnipotent, you know, Sarva Shaktiman. So if he became the world, he can reverse the process. Let us just say, oh, so you mean the time when he became the world, he became all the good and the evil. So there is, he's half good and half evil. And he's suffering also. So the Lord will be subjected to good and evil and he'll also be suffering because we see the suffering in the world and all that, isn't it? So he became the world. So he became Ravan. And he became Ram at the same time to fight with himself. That also lot of problems. You can ask another million questions. First type of creation, you'll ask so many questions which cannot be answered. Then here also, so many types of questions will come up, right? And you'll have to go on finding answers which will not gel well somewhere along the line. So, it's called Parinama, he became. And then maybe he became, he's reversible because he's omnipotent and all that kind of thing. But for some time when he became, he'll be subjected to all sorts of problems. And he himself will be fighting wars with himself because he became the good and evil. And how many wars and killing? He's a violent God. This world has seen more violence than. Oh, Bapre, you wouldn't believe. You just see the history a little bit. So, the rishis told, no, this thing also. So, if a snake appears on a rope, what does it do to the rope? Nothing. Snake could never touch the rope. No matter what violence of that movie appears on that screen, when the movie is over and you go and you touch the screen, nothing, no drop of blood has ever touched that screen. It remains exactly as it is. So the world is appearing, means the world of names and forms only, is appearing on a substratum. called as Sat Chit Anand. I am that substratum. That is what it is telling. I am that substratum on which my whole world is appearing. And it is only names and forms appearing on a substratum, and a name and a form can never touch the substratum. And touch means can never in any way affect the substratum. That is why Gandharva Pattanam is given. For this reason. Then, ataha aham nakatam brahma sarvajnam sarvakaranam. How can I not then be the cause of this whole universe? Because with me only, it is rising, and in me only it is going down. And I am the one. If this universe is known, it is I who am the one knowing it. Correct or not? So I am knowing you. Of course, you can say the same thing for me, but from as far as I'm concerned, I am knowing all of you. One inner thing cannot know another inner thing. It has to be a sentient thing. That's why I'm Chidvyomni, the space of consciousness. This microphone doesn't know this microphone. Good thing. If they had, this would have been something else. But I am the one knowing both. In me, the only knower, as far as I'm concerned, the only knower, all things are rising and I am the one who is knowing they're rising and going, coming and going. So, in me, the space of consciousness, all things are rising. And now, we said previously, I am Sat Chit Ananda. It is also said that this Satchit Ananda is eternal, indestructible. How we say this Satchit Ananda is eternal and indestructible, does not perish. This point is taken up in the next verse now to show that I am imperishable, because avinashi tutad vidhi na sarvamidam tatam. Bhagavan tells the whole world is avinashi, you know. The universe is avinashi, means not the names and form, but the substratum which is there behind the name and form is avinashi. Yena sarvamidam tatam, which pervades the whole world. So how it is avinashi? See, now that is given in number 4. Nasvata pratyavijnanat niramshat Tvanna chanyataha nachashraya vinashan me vinashasyadana ashrayat. Actually, it was telling very nicely. For destruction to take place, right? Let me tell you introduction to this verse. For destruction to take place, one of three things have to happen. Three types of destruction only come. One is called as swata nashaha or swataha nashaha. Swataha nashaha means like this. I don't know if you remember, long ago, there used to be some television show. You know, I think this would be called Charlie's Angels. Have you seen that thing? One Charlie's Angels over there. So then that Charlie is to send message to his angels. That this is your mission. This is what you have to do. And so much time you have to do. And this is all the aids I have sent for you. And then messages to come record it. And then as soon as it is finished, that message used to say, this message will self-destruct in 5 seconds, isn't it? So they have to get out of there. Because something is to just blow up like that or something, or go up in smokes, or in smoke. So now, that is called a swata nashaha. I mean, that thing has a self-destructive program built into it. Like this body. You don't have to do anything. Swata nasha, correct or not? If you sit there for, it just Svatanashaha. The second type is called Samyogadnashaha. Samyogadnashaha means you take an external element and you bring it in contact with that thing. Samyoga. You bring it in contact, like you take a stick and there's a pot. Dharam you give. This stick comes in contact with the pot, then gone. So samyogadnashaha. Huh? Then the last is called as ashrayatnashaha. Ashrayatnashaha means if there is a substratum of a thing and you pull the substratum, like just now I gave you the example of the pot and the clay, right? If the clay is the substratum, name and form of pot is there also. So how many things? Three things. Name, form, and clay. Name pot, form pot, means 2 feet high, 1 foot wide, you know, pot, the form. And it's also called pot. And it's called China pot, let us say. He gave my first name and surname also. China pot. So he has both names. So form and name, but then there's clay. So I am not touching name and form. I am just pulling clay. Just pull clay only. Leave name and form. Then nothing remains. So if anything, you pull the substratum. That is the third way to get rid of that thing. So these are the three forms of destruction. That is what is spoken about here in the verse now. So it says, na svata pratyabhijnanat. Nashaha, vinashaha is in the second line. The anvaya you'll have to see like that. So, I do not have any destruction because there is no inbuilt destructive program in me. Not the body, eh? We talk about sachit. And there is no inbuilt destructive program in me. And how it is proven? He says, pratyabhijnanat. Pratyabhijnanat means due to the fact that I have continuous memory. Like, for example, you slept last night, right? Now, yesterday you were there, then you went to sleep, then you remember nothing of that sleep. When you woke up, then you remember what happened yesterday. We had the inauguration of the camp. You remembered. So there was a period in between when you knew nothing. If there was a gap in between when I knew nothing, on what basis do you conclude it is the same person who went to sleep, that is the same person who woke up? On what basis do you conclude that? Because then there was a gap in between, isn't it? That is what is meant by pratyavijnana. I mean, there's a continuum in your experience that this, I'm the same person who went to sleep. It means the person would have had to have been there in the intervening sleep time also. If he had, can you imagine? You will go to sleep as Jack and wake up as John. But you know 100% that it is the same person who woke up, isn't it? They call pratyavijnan. Pratyavijnan means as a continuous memory. Or even if you want to look at the other example which is usually given, the other example is, look here, every 7 years your body changes. You know, every 7 years, every cell in this body has changed. Now, how many we have made? The body has gone 7-10 times already or whatever, and then still I say, it's still me. There's one continuum which is there. So, it means that the body may have a self-destructive program built in it, but I do not. So swatanashaha, that is not present in me. There's a continuum of memories in me. Some people say, no. But what about my last life and all? See, please pay attention to this. Eh? We are just using memory here as something which we know. But it is not a proof. See, the absence of memory. Oh, let me give you another example. There are many things in... Oh, have you seen people who have had amnesia? Right. So if a person has had amnesia, right, and for 2 years, and for that 2 years he remembers nothing. So because of the absence of memory, can we conclude that he did not exist for those 2 years? Memory also is not a praman for my existence. We are just using it here conveniently. The verse is just using that convenient memory. See, my existence does not depend on memory. In fact, it is only because of my existence only I know I don't remember. Because of my existence, I say, oh, I don't remember. The person who has amnesia, when you ask, what is your name? I don't remember. I don't remember what is my name. It is only because he is there, we know that there's the absence of memory also. He's supporting the absence of memory as well. So memory is not a requirement for existence like that. Not like that we mean. We are just using memory here to say, like from yesterday to today. That you know there was a continuum even though there was a gap. So now, there is no inbuilt program in me for self-destruction. Because of this, from memory it is proven that I was there continuously in, even though when I appeared to have been destroyed in sleep. When I appeared to have been destroyed in sleep, next day when I wake up, I realize, hey, I'm still there. So there was no self-destruction. I was not destroyed. I'm still there. Then, the next one, niramshatvat cha anyataha. I cannot be destroyed by samyogat nashah. Means I just told you. The second type is called as samyoga. Oh, now what is the logic here? It says, niramshatvat. Because I am without parts, I cannot be destroyed by something else. Now, the only way that stick can break that pot is if the pot is made up of parts. Just now we'll come back to this in the next verse. He'll elaborate on this in the next verse, just now. Only way you can break something or destroy something is if that thing is made up of parts. See, you can take it apart. No, because it is made up of parts. But if it's not made up of parts, you can't take it apart. How you'll take it apart if it is not made up of parts? But I'll leave that now. We'll come back to it just now. And then the next one is, nacha ashraya vinashat me vinashaha syat anashrayat. And I do not have any substratum. I am the substratum. So nobody can pull the substratum. You know, like when a man is standing on a carpet, they say in English, you pull the carpet from under his. Pull the carpet from under his feet. My nature is existence. So now, pull existence from existence. That's why Purnamada, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamudachyate. Means, Purnamada means that is full, complete, total. This is full, complete, total. When we take out the full from the full, what is remain? It's still full. Still complete, total. This is the mantra is telling like this thing. I have no ashraya, no support. I am myself the support. So there is no support to pull. It means to say, suppose we say, okay, from me, we pull the existence. Let's just, for discussion's sake, say, from me you pull existence, right? What will be left now? Vacuum. Okay? Vacuum will be left. vacuum exists or not? Vacuum exists. So how you'll pull existence from existence? You can't. I have no substratum. So you can't destroy, I cannot be destroyed by, that is called as ashraya nasha, by pulling this substratum also. Now, the second one is very important. So he deals with that whole thing in a verse all by itself. What is called samyogat nasha? By one thing coming in contact with another. Now see this. This is number 5. Nashosha plosha vikleda. Chedash chinnavaso mama. Satyairapyanilagnyam bhaha. Shastre kimutakalpitaihi. Look here, it says, satyaihi api anila agni ambasaha. Ambaha shastrehi. Nakalpitehi. It means to say it is not possible for something of the same order of reality. Is given here. Wind means air, fire, and water, or even a weapon, some weapon shastra, right? To destroy space. Now see what it means. The five elements, space, air, fire, water, earth. They belong to the same order of reality, isn't it? Same level. Because they are five elements. It is not possible for any one of them to do anything to space. Think. Any fire can burn space. Water can drown. No. They all belong to the same order of reality. And here you have one of the elements which none of them can touch. So he says, in the same way, since things belonging to the same order of reality, these four cannot touch that fifth one. It means that fifth one is beyond their reach. What to talk about something which is Satchitananda Atma, which belongs to a whole different order of reality now, even a more subtle order of reality. How any one of them will touch that? So therefore he says, na shoshaha ploshaha, na shosha plosha vikleda. That Atma cannot be dried and cut and wet and nothing, no such thing. Na shlosha plosha vikleda. Chedaha. Chit. Ambasaha. Mama. I am. Who is that? Chit consciousness cannot be destroyed by drying, burning, making wet, cutting, nothing. Because I belong to a different order of reality altogether. Even if you take a sword and try to cut this space, they belong to the same order of reality. Cut. Nothing. What to talk about that which is more subtle than space also? The absolute reality. Higher order of reality. This cannot reach there. That's why in the Upanishad it said, na tatra chakshur gacchati, na vak gacchati, no manaha. The mind, the eyes, the ears, they cannot reach that level. Because this belongs to the level of the manifested names and forms. And I just told, name and form cannot touch the substratum. Name and form cannot do anything to the substratum. Name and form of pot. Like for example, if you take the clay and you make a scorpion, you carve a scorpion out of the clay, does it make clay poisonous? Clay doesn't become poisonous. Cannot touch, no name or form. Like the other example given, marucha, marutam, Marucha Michi means on the desert sand, the water. When you see that water on the desert, or the highway when you're driving, better is here, the better thing is highway. Over there you see so much of water. So that water wets the highway or what? Nama roop only, on the substratum. Doesn't do anything. Same thing here. Now, this thing is subtle. Anything appearing on it cannot do anything to any weapon. Cannot. In Bhagavan says, Nainam chindanti shastrani, Nainam dahati pavakaha, Nachainam kledayanti apaha. Nothing can wet, cut, dry, burn, nothing. That self. Just now I told you, samyogat nashaha. The stick has to come in contact with the pot. Oh. Now here, name and form cannot come in contact with that substratum. You see? So none of the... No contact is possible. You cannot contact Brahman. There's no contact number. He's not on your contact list. So you cannot contact. That is the most wonderful thing. So that Brahman, why? Because you cannot contact yourself. You are yourself. I am myself. I cannot contact myself. If I have to contact myself, that means to say I will have to come out and be something else. Isn't it? If I come out from myself, two CEOs of companies, they're discussing. What? My messenger is more foolish than your messenger. That is what they're discussing. You wouldn't believe how foolish my messenger is. So that other fellow said, nothing. I can guarantee you my messenger is more foolish than your messenger. So this first one said, I'll show you. Look here. He called his messenger. He gave him $5. He said, take this $5 and go down to the market and buy me a Mercedes Benz. Now where can you buy a Mercedes Benz for $5, you know? That messenger said, yes, sir. He took that $5 and he went down to the market. Then this first CEO tells, see how foolish this man is. That second CEO said, nothing. Look here, I'll show you. He called his messenger. He said, you go home by my house and check to see if I am present there. If I am at home. You go home and check and see if I am at home. That messenger said, yes. So he left. So this CEO, you see, look at this fellow. He went home to see if I am there. Now these two messengers, they met up on the street. Now that first one is telling that second one, my boss is crazy. He gave me $5 and he told me to come to the market and buy him a Mercedes Benz. He has to be crazy. He doesn't know today is Saturday and the market is closed. That other one is telling you, think your boss is crazy? My boss is worse. He's so mad. He told me to go home and check and see if he's at home. He's so stupid. There was a phone right there. He could have called home and see if he's there or at home. Why you have to send me all the way? Look here. A person cannot come out of himself, be there and be home. One is not capable of coming. One is oneself, isn't it? I am the self and I cannot come out and touch me. I am me already. I cannot contact me. If there is one thing, where there is contact? From beginning, if you study, we said that there's only one eka rasa. What will contact? What? Like this space. This, let us say, you know, 3 cubic inches of space here. And 3 cubic inches of space here. Is one uniform space. How this space will contact this space? Undifferentiated thing, isn't it? It can't contact. So nothing can come in contact with this self to destroy this self. So samyoga nasha. Samyoga nasha, not possible. This is the point of this verse, taking one of the three types of nasha from the previous verse. So you see, if you notice, all of this is just a discussion about the nature of the self, isn't it? Which we know, the Shastra tells very clearly, the self is avinashi. It is indestructible. So now all of this discussion is so that we'll go over this thing in our mind again and again, and don't think in this one camp it will be over. In one camp it will not be over. This is all lifetimes of bahunam janmanamante jnanavan mam prapadyate. Jnanavan means Bhagavan telling Gita, after many, many births, this one who has acquired his knowledge and he goes on. The only good saving grace in all of that is it might be this birth. You see, this might be the last. We can make it the last. So, again and again, we have to go over all of this thing. Now, in the next verse, now our time is gone, but in the next verse, I'll tell you. The chit aspect is being described, and he tells that only because of chit or consciousness, things reveal themselves to us. We know that things are there only because of this consciousness. Wait not for consciousness, there will be nothing. And this actually proves again the oneness of Sat and Chit. We'll see tomorrow, next class. This one we don't have evening, we have Bhagavatam. Okay.
Hari Om. Just like Ramchandra said yesterday, we'll have a discussion from 11 to 12. So we want to divide the group into four sections. We'll make it A, B, C, D. So we will start saying A, B, C, D, and then A group will go into one, B to so, C, then D. Can we start?
No,
I say A, B. You are not A. You are B.